you bring the body back to where the spirit has prepared? Dude, it's like, understanding that mindset changes everything. That's like 80, 90% of everything, bro.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey guys, Alex Pardo from FlipEmpire.com, and wait until you hear this masterclass podcast interview with the one and only Brian Harris. Dude is absolutely killing it, and not only is he killing it in his market, but he rocked this interview. This is easily probably one of my top three or four favorite that I've done, and we're about 78 episodes in here, so I can't wait to hear your guys' feedback and some of your comments. I know, you know, after I release these, I usually get some emails, and I know that, you know, I can't wait to see what comes in here. Just so you guys know, Brian is somebody who 3-4 years ago was, and you're going to hear us talk about this a little bit, had no money, was sleeping on a twin bed with a family of five, and had no money, you know, was obese, talked about how he was, you know, extremely overweight, and how he completely did a 180 and turned his life around. And we're going to talk about some very specific practical ways that he did that can help you in your life, regardless of whether you're wanting to generate, you know, more income, whether you're not happy with your health, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, Brian gives some very practical steps and advice on how he completely turned his life around in 3 short years. And not only did he lose several hundred pounds, but the guy is generating over 200 grand a month in wholesaling profits, not rehab, over 200 grand a month, and has consistently been doing 6 figures a month for the better part of a year now. So I'm telling you, I hate to use the word crushing because everybody, you know, that throws around that word, but dude is smashing, like seriously. So check out this masterclass podcast interview here with Brian Harris. Without further ado, let's just jump right into it. Hey, what's going on, Flip fam? It's Alex Pardo here, and it's fantastic to be on another masterclass. I absolutely love these podcast interviews because it gives me an opportunity, you know, to also learn from some of the best and the best in our industry. And, you know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, it's always my goal to bring you the cream of the crop, people that are out there. And I hate to use the word crushing because I think it's so overused and cliche. But today's guest, Brian Harris, is absolutely killing his market out in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, just to give you guys some context and some background before I introduce him and bring him on here. Last year, you know, about a year ago, I kept seeing the name Brian Harris on all these different wholesaling groups and Facebook. Guy was just super active, always giving, talking about deals he was closing, posting checks, and I love that kind of stuff. And we have a lot of mutual friends in the industry, and I remember Trevor Mock mentioned his name, Trevor from OnCarrot, and Sean Terry had him on his podcast. And so the guy's just out there doing it. You know, he's not a guru who's just selling courses, but the guy's, you know, he's just killing it in his market. So, you know, to be honest, we've been trying to get him on for a while now, and our schedules just haven't been able to kind of connect. And so I've been looking forward to this one. I had this one circled on my calendar because I know the type of content you need to help take your business to the next level. And Brian is somebody who, you know, we were just talking before we hit the record here, you know, guys consistently doing $180,000 to $200,000 months just wholesaling, right? So this isn't rehabbing. This is specifically wholesaling. So if you run a wholesaling business, which I know a lot of you do, take a lot of notes. You know, you're probably going to want to listen to this one 2-3 times. And before we get into that, I want to talk about some of the mindset stuff because, you know, Brian and I are cut from the same cloth, and honestly, 80% of life and any business is all mindset. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to get into some of the meat and potatoes in terms of how Brian was able to grow, scale his business to the point where the guy's doing $180,000, $200,000 months consistently. So man, Brian, having said that, it is awesome to have you on, brother.
Thank you so much, man, for having me on. I'm so glad I was able to clear my schedule to be on here, man. I got a lot to talk about. So I'm just as excited to talk as you are to have me on, man.
Yeah, dude, I love it, man. Well, hey, before we get into it, man, I just want to acknowledge you, and I appreciate you being, you know, just so giving with your time and information on social media. And I know you've built a pretty big following, man. And it's awesome from afar. I know this is actually the first time that you and I are speaking, but it's awesome to see, you know, people succeeding and just doing so well, man. So hats off to you, brother.
Thank you so much, man.
Cool, man. Well, hey, I know you and I, we talked briefly before this. I want to jump into the mindset stuff, because I know you and I, we think alike, and I actually saw your onstage presentation at Sean Terry's event, man, and I was inspired. I thought it was fantastic. Let's talk about mindset, man, because you and I can come on here and we can drop all the knowledge in the world, but you know, if you don't believe it's possible, it's not going to work for you, right? So talk to us a little bit about, you know, your mindset and how you got from, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I don't think you were in this business at that time, to how you've quickly been able to, amass so much wealth and just have so much success in this business. Talk to us a little bit about your mindset.
Man, well, briefly in a nutshell, man, about 3 years ago, I was one of probably many victims of my own way of thinking, but I'm going to say the economy, of course. And so I was in a funk mentally. And so I wanted to know, I didn't want to fall for the trap of, life is just happening to me. So I started reading books. Everybody knows about the books, Think and Grow Rich. And there are plenty of other books that I can talk about and go on about. But it opened up my mindset to realize that life doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. And so what that meant to me was that I was the cause of everything that was reflecting in my life. It was like my mindset was literally mirroring back the way I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And when I traced it back, Alex, it was kind of like, you know, I looked at and I was like, I remember before I lost a lot of the things that I had before the economy, you know, from foreclosing on tons of houses, my personal home, bank, my bank account dropping. I remember my mindset shifting to a mindset of lack, not abundance. I was holding on instead of investing and spinning out. So when I looked at the cause of the moment that I was standing in, I realized that if I wanted to change my future, Alex, I had to change my now. Mm-hmm. And that mindset, bro, literally took me from, sleeping, me, my family, my kids, bro, sleeping in a bed in my friend's house, a twin bed, all four of my kids. I got, all four of my family members. I have three boys now. Wow. He wasn't born yet. So all of us sleeping in a freaking twin bed to, you know, now making, you know, a couple hundred grand a month or more. And so it's not surprising to me, because where I am now, not sounding arrogant in any kind of way, but where I am now, I mentally use my God-given power to create this moment. So it's shocking to others, but it's kind of like, okay, y'all just now seeing it. You know what I mean? Because it's been in my mind already, bro.
So dude, let's kind of break this down, man, because it's, you know, if I'm starting out in this business, or even if I'm not, let's say somebody's been in business for a while and they're kind of on that income roller coaster. They've had ups, they've had downs. And you know, they're listening to you talk about the mindset that for you, you know, life happens for you, right? Not to you. And the fact that your time was now, can you share anything practical? Like, what was it that you did? Did you follow a particular step-by-step process aside from the books that you read and the people you surrounded yourself with? Like, what did you do to quickly make that transition and that turn?
Okay, so I'm gonna break it down to a very technical point. I've really studied this and made it. Of course, I'm a Christian, so I don't want to offend any of your listeners. But I also I wanted to say that because I back it up with scripture, biblical scripture as well as scientific. You know, so whatever your belief system is, I have data that can prove that it works in any facet. So, from a mechanical standpoint, what I did was I understood that. And I'm gonna talk for a second, Alex, if it's okay.
Go, man, go, fire away.
But I understood, I learned from, you know, books that I've read, and I'll talk about those later, but that we have literally like two forms of our mind. We have a conscious brain and we have a subconscious brain. Now, really understand this. And the conscious brain is literally comprised of our five senses. It's what we consider to be, most people consider to be, the physical reality that we see: our eyes, our ears, the hearing, the smell, the touch. the sound, the taste, all of those are what we call our conscious mind. Our conscious mind, this is what I learned, is in place for us to guard our subconscious brain. Now, our subconscious brain, part of our mind, is the part of our brain that does not think. It does not. It just only receives into it, and then it reflects back to us what it is that we plan into it. Now, how do we do this? We can consciously make the decision to where. So breaking all of this down, this is what I did. Understanding that tidbit right there. Mm-hmm. I decided to say, okay, you know what? Hey, the other stuff that I've been doing hasn't been working. Let me see if this works. So what I did was I understood that my subconscious brain didn't think. It didn't know what was real and what wasn't real. I did some research on Olympic athletes, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. These are people who believe in the power of visualization. Some of the great ones, right?
Conor McGregor as well. Yeah.
Huh?
Conor McGregor as well, the UFC
champion. Conor McGregor. Oh, my God. I can say so much about him. And so these great ones, they talked about how they visualize standing with the trophy. They visualize the end result. So the key to it is not visualizing the how. How it's going to happen is not the jurisdiction of us. When we try to figure out how it's going to happen, we tend to worry, and worry brings more lack. Worry brings more things for you to worry about. So all we have to do, the agreement that we have with God, the creator, whatever you want to call it, is to visualize the end result as if you are in it now. So I want to really zone in on this. You have to think from the place that you want to be. So what I did was I would mentally set aside in the morning time. These are the two most important times. In the morning, as soon as I wake up, before I put my feet on the floor, and at night before I close my eyes and drift off into a deep sleep. Those are the times that where my conscious brain goes away and my subconscious brain is exposed. So I don't leave TVs on, radios on, or anything like that. And I created audio, I call it an audio visual, of myself speaking from the place that I wanted to be in. So I had this audio that I recorded on my phone, and it would be like, let's just say like the house I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. Nice house. I won't talk about it or brag anything, but I wasn't in this house when I created the audio visual, right? So, oh my God, it feels so good waking up in my room, my X amount of square foot house, looking over my wife, seeing her happy, hugging my kids. They're so happy running around in my big backyard with the swimming pool. Man, look. And so I'm jumping scenes in my end result. So I don't have to, you know, be like a timeline with it.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's a certain car that I wanted, if it's a certain bank account that I wanted at that time. Oh, my God, it feels so great picking up my $300,000 check this month, man. I know I'm about to give my mom some money. I'm about to give my wife a little bit of splurge money. My wife is down in Florida right now. I literally just sent her a little bit of money for her to splurge. I'm saying this for real. Like, I literally did that. And I remember thinking how great it would feel for me to reward my wife for sticking with me through all of the BS that we had to grow through, you know, when I was sleeping in a twin bed. So what I did, man, is I literally spoke from that moment. So when I was going through the funk, here's the thing that was amazing about it. Looking back at the journey, understanding that life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you, is all of the events, the good and the bad. And Jesus, God talks about this in scripture. You know, be thankful in all things. So in the good and the bad, all of those things led me to where I am. So when I thought it was a problem, it was there for me to be shifted into a direction to take me to this moment. So understanding and looking back, I can see it now because I'm on the mountaintop, right? But when I'm in the valley, I didn't understand it. I had to have the faith in the unseen for the things that I wanted to appear in the physical world, man. So I can go on and on and on about that, man. But in a nutshell, I created an audio visual of myself, my future self, speaking from that place. And when I would get down, and Albert Einstein talks about this, a negative and a positive can't occupy the same space at the same time. That's same things with thought. So when those negative thoughts would attempt to enter into my brain, because I'm human, shoot, I think bad stuff too sometimes, mm-hmm. but I consciously made the decision to have my end result readily available, and that's the only thing that I would allow to dominate my brain. And I dominated my thoughts with what I wanted to happen. I didn't watch TV. I didn't listen to radio. I didn't even listen to people. If my team was negative, if my family was negative, dude, I literally cut them off. Wow. And so I only dominated my brain with what I wanted to happen. Now, that creates some stubbornness, right? That means if somebody don't think your idea will work, that means I'm standing on what I believe in because it's my world, it's my universe, and it's going to happen the way I want it to. But then the faith without works is dead. But I put the action behind it, man. And I know we're going to talk about that in essence too. So all of the things that had to happen, the circumstances, the events, the people, the information, the wisdom that I needed to make that end result happen will now be presented to you, or it was presented to myself, so that vision, that moment can manifest in time.
I
so
love it, man. Again,
I didn't have to worry about the how. And that means that when I started this, bro, I was obese. I was a huge guy. All of the information that I needed to fulfill myself with optimal health, to lose hundreds of pounds, you know, to fuel my body for the grind that I was about to hit in the physical body. All of those things were presented to me to allow me to get back on track. So, you know, it's just amazing. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like a bunch of hogwash.
It does, man. But that's the thing. It really does it, man. And I almost want to just kind of shut up and let you go, man, because you're on a roll. And I love this stuff, but it's so powerful to hear your story, how, you know, you went from obese, 3 years ago to losing hundreds of pounds. You went from, you know, sleeping on a twin bed with your family, not having a lot of money, to now consistently doing, you know, having couple hundred thousand dollar months. I mean, that if that doesn't inspire you, if you're listening to this and you find yourself in a place where you're not happy with your health, you're not happy with your money situation, it could be a relationship, whatever it is, understand that what you put into your subconscious mind can get you to the place that you want to go if you crystallize it and you know, if you really put that feeling behind it. And I think, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, man, but I really think what's kind of resonating with me is that you didn't just go through an exercise like I've been guilty in the past of reading your goals or listening to a specific audio, but you actually emotionally took yourself to that place and you like fast forwarded the movie as if you were already living in there, right?
Exactly. You have to include the one of the key things to it, Alex, is including all of your senses in the visualization, meaning don't just, you know, I want to stress this. Don't think of it. Think from it, meaning smell the new leather, touch the doors on the new refrigerator in your house. I'm talking about material things, but you can literally manifest anything. So but material things help it kind of zone in a little bit better when I talk about it. So smell it, touch it, feel it, hear it. Use your senses in your visualization. It is key for you to use your senses, because what that does is it take your what's happening is the spirit side of you is going. Jesus talks about this in scripture, and I know a lot of people, you know, probably interpret it to mean what they want it to mean. But I was I read these books. I'm going to tell you the guy called Neville Goddard, G-O-D-D-A-R-D.
Okay.
And he talked about he interprets the scripture in such a way where he talks about how it's when Jesus talks about, I will go to prepare a place for you. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And then when he interprets this, he says, there are many ideas. The mansions are ideas, possibilities. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, Jesus said, the I of any one of us is the spirit. I will go to one of those mansions, one of those possibilities, and I will prepare you a place. Meaning I will mentally go there, spiritually, live in that moment, dwell in it, prepare the place. And he says, I will return again to you, to your body. My spirit will now come back to the body. My eye of me will come back to the body, so that where I am, where that I was living, the spirit was living, there you may be also. You can now you bring the body back to where the spirit has prepared. Dude, it's like understanding that mindset changes everything. That's like 80-90% of everything, bro.
Dude, has anybody ever told you you're like a combination of of Les Brown, Tony Rock. Like, you got me pumped on the other end of this freaking microphone.
No, you know what? My mom, and she didn't know this. My mom, you know, we grew up middle class, et cetera, probably even a little bit lower than that. And my mom, dude, and my parents would listen to people like Les Brown and Tony Robbins. I was like, man, what is this? But those mindsets were being instilled in me at a young age, visualizing. I didn't know what it was. My mom, when I played football, she would like, visualize yourself sacking the quarterback. Visualize yourself doing this. And I'm like, huh? But I would do it and it would happen, right? And so I'm like, oh my God. So when I apply those same thoughts to business, I look back, bro, and all of the things in my life have led me to the confidence and the belief level and the faith that I have. And so the fact that you say that, I can definitely understand that, because Les Brown is somebody that I definitely look up to.
Yeah,
I would love
it. Yeah, it's so awesome, man. So let me kind of paint a picture here for the audience and tell me, actually, I'll let you kind of paint a picture here. So you're telling me, like, when you wake up in the morning, you're still in bed, you open your eyes, you pop in, and I'm assuming here, you pop in some headphones or your ear set or whatever, and you play an audio of you in that moment of the type of house you live in, as if you're already living in that house, the car you drive, the money you have, the relationships, the health, you playing with your family, going on, like, whatever it is that you want, you're passionately speaking about that as if it's already occurring, and you're in bed listening to this, and you're smiling, you're thinking about it, you're listening to it, you have all your senses involved. Is that right?
Correct. So what I do when I say multisensory, I involve my senses, meaning my emotions for the thought that I'm visualizing is so strong. I want to bring my physical body to tears of joy. I want to bring my heartbeat to a racing. I want to affect my physical body with my visualizations. Does that make sense?
It does.
I want to fire up the muscles that need to be used inside my body, the cells that need to be rushed to a certain area of my body when I'm visualizing, so that I have such an effect on my body from my visualization that what I'm doing is my subconscious brain, like I told you in the beginning, does not know the difference. Mm-hmm. It doesn't know that, oh, this is just his thoughts. This isn't the real thing. And what it does is when the key to it is feeling the thought. When the thought is mixed with the emotion, that's when the thoughts manifest into your reality. A lot of people just think, oh, I can think this thought, I can just do affirmations. You have to emotionalize and wrap that thought into emotions. And the way you do that is include your senses, and you feel it into existence. And when you feel it, you bring it into the physical reality a lot faster. You become more of a magnet. The magnet that you are, you really magnetize yourself when you do that.
Got it. So can you give me an example? So when you say you feel it, let's say, for example, you talked about smelling the leather of the car that you're driving inside of, right? So let's just use that as an example. Are you taking a deep breath in and you're imagining what the leather smells like? Are you... Can you, like, kind of feel that?
Well, let me say this. So, like, for instance, believe it or not, if you're not aware of it, you can become aware of it. So, meaning, I'm going to give you an example, and then I'm going to take it away from the smelling, but I'm going to go to the hearing. But it's the same principle. Do you know how, like, if you're sitting in silence and a song comes in your head and you don't hum the song, but in your head you can hear the notes?
Happens all the time, yeah.
Exactly. The same thing, meaning I can smell a rose in my mind. Mm-hmm. I can hear sounds because that's all it is. Everything that you do is a reflection of what you're doing in your brain.
Yeah, it's a vibration.
Exactly. So what you're doing is you're coming in tune with that frequency. And so so when you come in tune with that frequency, I give an example of like the DirecTV, bro. Like the DirecTV, there's no signals from my house. There's no cable lines from my house to the space satellite, right? But there's a signal that allows thousands of channels to display on the screen of my TV. Meaning, if I want to watch TV, if I want to watch sports, ESPN, I put it on 206 for DirecTV. If I want to watch HBO, I put it on 500, right? But the thing is, all of those channels, all of those stations are playing at the same time. That's the same thing with your life. So Every version of you, Albert Einstein talks about this, there's no time. Everything exists right now, Alex. Meaning like, so if the worst version of me, I can tune into that frequency if I want to mentally. Mm-hmm. Or the best version of me, I can tune into it. It's playing right now. Which one do you want to choose to tune into? And that's all we have to do.
I think it's obvious, man. I think the answer to that is obvious. So when you're, and you do this from in bed, how long are you spending in there before you actually put your feet on the ground? Is this a 5-10 minute audio or what?
So like, it really depends on you, man. So like right now, like I can magnetize my brain, like, you know, so in the morning time, it probably takes me a minute or two. When I started, I would do it for like 10 minutes, 20 okay. minutes, because I'm still unconscious. You know, when you kind of wake up, you're still out of it. Yep. That's when you want to really do it. And when you go to bed, you about to lose consciousness. So you want to have that automatically just playing all night in your head. I don't know if you guys ever watched this movie. It just came out, called The Founder. What's crazy is you're going to see the exact same thing that I'm talking about. Ray Kroc, the owner of McDonald's, did the same exact thing. It was so mind-opening for me to see that. I was like, oh, my God, he did it too. You know?
That's so awesome.
The other thing that I do is I don't just leave it to that, because I didn't want to leave anything open to entering into my brain. So I created these affirmations. It was like it created a consciousness of success, a consciousness of money, a consciousness of health, a bubble around my aura is what I wanted to, right? So when I'm done with my visualization, then I have these affirmations that, you know, I created, that they play over and over. And then when I say you, if you're around me, dude, when I'm in, I call it manifestation mode, because I have to come out of it when I get to what I want, I rest. It's almost like the Sabbath day. I rest, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've been creating. And so I come out of that and I rest, but I play I do my visualization, and then I play those affirmations all throughout the day. I have these headphones that I wear, and that's the only thing that I hear. But like I said, it's not shocking to me that I'm receiving the results that I have, because I do it like relentlessly.
Wow. Wow. That's so awesome, man. So, dude, I don't know how we're going to transition from that to like the tech, because to me, man, like the mind, like whenever people ask me what books I'm reading or what kind of content I'm consuming, sometimes, man, people are actually kind of shocked to hear that it's not the ABCs of like the latest, greatest strategy or technique with wholesaling or marketing, or like I'm typically reading some sort of self-help, personal development, mindset book, because you and I understand that 80% of life and business is all mindset and 20% is mechanics. So I'm going to try now after about 20 minutes here of to transition over to the mechanics, because I know that you and I know that, you know, the mechanic stuff is like what's sexy that people want. But guys, okay, you know, if you're listening in, please understand that what Brian just kind of took us through the last 15, 20 minutes, if you just get that out of this audio, your life can change. And I think Brian is a perfect example of that. 3 years ago, went from, you know, just not being in the same position he's in now. And obviously, I think I could speak for him that, you know, 80% of that was driven by the stuff, the practical things he was just talking about right now. So with that said, Brian, let's talk about 3 years ago, you were there, now you're here. And so a lot has happened in the middle. So I don't want people to think that you can just sit at home and you know, think positive thoughts and all this is going to happen. Obviously, you got to take action. You got to get up off your ass. You got to do things, right? You don't have to know the how. That's going to be revealed to you, right? So I think we're all clear on that. But how did you fast forward to now you're you know, you were telling me you just had a $200,000 wholesaling month. How did you get to that place with the understanding that, okay, we got the mindset stuff. We're working on that. Talk about some of the actions that you took and some of the things you've learned in the last year or two that have allowed you to grow and scale your business to a point where you're doing, you know, 100, 200, 200 plus $1,000 months.
Well, I guess the best way to kind of transition is to say, if the Olympic athletes do this, right, do the visualization, they got to run the race now. And so that's the part of it. So this part is how, you know, actually physically running the race, taking the physical body towards that. So what I did, Alex, is of course, the mentors and the right type of people were revealed to me, and a friend of mine named Jonathan Pierce, him and his brother wanted to meet with me. And so, of course, I'm like in opportunity seeking mode. So, you know, they were like, man, I know a guy out in Phoenix, Arizona, who's killing it. And they called him their mentor. And I'm like, well, shoot, what's his name? Let's, you know, I need a mentor as well. What do I need to do? So they told me about Sean Terry.
Yep.
And so I end up purchasing Sean Terry's course, man. And the information that I learned from it was new to me. So I was a sponge. I'm one of those people that if I learn something, I implement fast. So I think that's one of the key things. I was watching a video the other night and it said the three signs for you to know if you'll be rich or not. And one of them, the first one was, how fast do you implement information that you receive?
Speed of implementation. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah, man. I literally implemented, you know, the information that I received so fast. It was like, so one of the biggest things was, you know, the wholesaling. He talked about wholesaling, and wholesaling was simply, for those of that are listening for the first time, it's simply getting a person to, you know, agree to sell you their house and getting them to sign a purchase agreement, a contract. Mm-hmm. Once I get that, that means that now all I have to do is find the buyer for, you know, the contract that I have. And so I can add a premium onto it, $5,000, $10,000, $100,000, whatever it is that you want, feel that, you know, the value of that contract is. And so you, once you find the buyer, you put that buyer, you make them sign a contract, you turn both of those papers into escrow, and then you get, and so when the buyer, let's just say he pays $30,000 and you got the contract for $10,000, you make the in between $20,000. Dude, when he said that, I was like, oh my God.
Light bulbs.
Oh my God. I was like, bro, if it's that simple, meaning, which it really is, but if it's that simple, like all I have to do is connect a seller to a buyer and both of them get what they want. I game, take that game paper on. To the escrow. Dude, yep. Game over. Yep. Game over. And so what I did was I kind of did the reverse engineering technique. It wasn't necessarily, it was talked about, but it wasn't really, you know, dove into. So what I did was I got these signs, these special signs that I used, and I market a lot on social media. Like I was starting from zero, bro. So it's like I had to use what I call it my energy budget. Meaning, like, I ain't have $1 million to invest or $5,000 to put on mailers and all that stuff. All I had was my energy budget, but I got the energy budget of Coca-Cola.
I love it.
You know? So it was like, you know, so I had a multi-billion-dollar energy budget. So what I did was I made these signs. Some people say, well, where did you get the sign from? Okay, there's a grocery store at Kroger. They call it K. Rogers, Kroger's. And I would go behind the grocery stores and get cardboard boxes. And I would get sticks off the ground. And I would write on them, you know, low price house for sale, worth $50,000, selling for $20,000. And I put them all up around interstates. Uh-huh. And then I would market on Craigslist. A lot of people say Craigslist is dead. All there is wholesalers, et cetera. But my thing was, if I can connect to the people that have the buyers, I want to meet with the wholesalers. Yep. The other thing was I would post in areas like overseas, Australia, Canada, Israel, Japan, California, areas outside of Memphis, so that I could pull buyers from all over the world. And I created a capture page. This is before I had the money to get the carrot, right? For my guy, Trevor. And so I created a capture page, and my whole purpose was to drive traffic to my funnel. I didn't have enough money to get CallRail, so I had Google Voice. So I use a lot of free mediums, right? And so I use Google Sheets for my tracking, right? Now, granted, I've grown into other things since the money has came in, but I started from nothing, okay? And so doing all those things, I drove traffic. And so I created the buyer demand that I needed. Once I had the buyer demand, yes, sir, what do you want? I talked to everybody. I texted everybody back. I blasted to them. I followed up with them like an animal. And then I found out what areas that they wanted. Once I found that out, I went to the marketplace and found the houses. That's the easy part. And so now I had all these buyers who had $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 cash, right? I created like thousands of buyers in a matter of like 5 or 10 days. And so off my energy. And then so I market. So when I got a house and a contract, using, you know, other free techniques, right? I connected the buyer to it. So they had $30,000 cash. I would get the houses and the contract here for $5,000-$10,000, and I would sell them for $20,000-$30,000. So here's the thing. When I would get the houses under contract, the only thing standing between me, let's just say if none of the buyers wanted my properties that I had in my database, if I had 10 houses on the country, so me, I would do enough prospecting on a daily basis that would get me, that should breed me the results of getting at least 5 or 10 contracts. Okay? That's how much prospecting I would do on a daily basis, so that I knew that my results were guaranteed to happen because I would have a compound effect over the course of the next 90 days or 120 days. It's like I relentlessly prospected. And so when I did that, I would go and connect. So I knew that if I had 10 contracts in my pipeline that actually came to fruition, that I actually had signed, the only thing standing between me and $100,000 that month is my grind. Like, I was not going to go to sleep until I got that $100,000 that I had sitting in contracts. Meaning, I wasn't going to let a contract expire. I couldn't. My family, my mom, my dad, my wife, my kids, my sisters, they all depended on me. Their husbands, right? So I put all of the responsibilities of the downside of the economy on my shoulders.
Yeah.
And I made it bigger than me. I could have easily, Alex, said 10 grand a month is good for me, 20 grand a month. But it was like, when it becomes bigger than you, you grow a lot more, you know?
Wow, so. Bro. Man, I don't even know where to take this because there's so much we can get into. Like what you just shared in the last 2 minutes, I mean, there's so many follow-up questions I have for you, but I don't want to eat up a whole lot of your time. But brother, if you got another 15 minutes or so, man, I'd love to keep going because like if I'm putting myself in somebody who's at the gym or at home or doing whatever in their car and they're listening to this or like, Brian, don't stop, man, don't stop. So man, if we can keep going here for a bit, you let me know.
Yeah, let's rock and roll, man. What do people want?
I love it, man. So you talked about the energy budget, man. Let's give some advice. What would you say to the person that doesn't have that marketing budget, but everybody's got an energy budget if they're willing to put forth that effort, right? They're willing to grind. What are some things you talked about? Craigslist, you talked about bandit signs, you talked about building your buyer's list and then going out into the marketplace and finding basically reverse wholesaling, finding what they're looking for, right? What did your day look like? You said that you followed up like a madman, you were doing a ton of prospecting. What advice would you give for that person, everybody that has an energy budget, right? What are some step one, step two, step three, like, what do you advise and what did that prospecting look like for you?
Okay, so one of the biggest things is, so like I would do like, you know, I give like people that I help out and all that stuff. I tell them, you know, if they can prospect, I have like 20 different categories that I prospect in. So I tell them if they can get like 7 prospects in each category, you know, that's awesome. But I'll give you one main one that breeds tons of results is when you marketing on social media and you're marketing on, you know, Craigslist and all these other forums, et cetera, you're going to attract a lot of other people that are doing what you're doing, you know, whether it's wholesalers, whether it's, you know, actual sellers or whatever the case may be. But the other thing is the people that's in your circle of influence, meaning like the people that you're friends with on Facebook, all that stuff, a lot of people overlook the contracts that they can actually get. See, the thing about getting contracts is building rapport. Mm-hmm. So if you have the rapport already built, that's one step that you don't have to overcome. Sure. Meaning like a person is going to give me a contract. My mom's best friend is going to give me the contract on a house before she would give it to you because my mom told her to do it. And that's her best friend. Right. So understanding it. So what you do is I made a list out of like 300 people and I haven't even gotten to everybody on my list. And it's been 3 years later. But the first like 50 people that I called or text messaged, et cetera, I was like, hey, look, man, I'm buying houses, you know, in my area. If you know anybody that's looking to sell, I'll give you a $500 referral fee if I buy it. And I will message them 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Until they sent me something. I stayed on their brain. I would text message them. So that would be my daily routine. Okay. So I would message those people. And sure enough, within a 2 or 3 day time frame, hey, look, yeah, aunt such and such is selling a house. Give her a call. Sure enough, boom, I got a contract. You see what I'm saying? So yep, your network is literally like your net worth. Like you can literally go make it happen from doing simple things like that. And so when I say that, you may say, I only know 10 people. No, you don't. You got doctors, dentists, lawyers, barbers, hair salons, nail techs, babysitters, teachers, like my sons, dude, they come on and say, look, dad, Miss Johnson says she got a person that wants to sell her house because I make my sons wear, you know, certain shirts on the playground. My dad buys houses, right? So
like
little stuff like that, you got to kind of think outside the box. When you ain't got it, you got to focus on the end result mentally and the ideas and the how will present itself. You just got to implement. The key to it is implementing the information that you receive.
Got it. So then it was just you. At what point did you start building a team around you?
when it became too overwhelming, when I couldn't market the way I want to, because 98% of what I think any great entrepreneur does should be marketing, because I don't have to sell anymore. I don't have to, you know, sell buyers. I don't have to sell sellers. All I do is stuff my pipeline until it pukes on me. I learned that from Grant Cardone. He said, stuff your pipeline until it defecates on you. I'm like, ew, but it made sense. You know, so
Uncle G.
So what I do is I literally spend 98% of my time stuffing my pipeline. I'm always feeding my pipeline, stuffing it with new buyers, stuffing it with new sellers, et cetera. So that right there in a nutshell, you know, making sure. So when that became overwhelming, I couldn't focus on, you know, what I needed to do to put fuel in the engine. Then I started to outsource. I needed a person that can do that. When you can't do the things that you need to do. Okay, I got five people that want a contract. I don't have time to send a contract. That's a problem, right? You outsource it. So your growth is going to dictate to you when you need to expand. And yeah, the money wasn't flowing in the way I wanted to feel like I could hire a person. But that's where the faith comes in the end result. So you got to kind of step out on the faith, knowing that the end result is going to happen regardless. So you know what? I swiped the Amex card that I had in the mail. Bad credit, right? Use my wife's credit. This is me being transparent as ever. I had horrible credit from the crash. My wife had just rebuilt her credit. I maxed out her card to hire a few staff members, right? Like, you talk about, like, you want to get the real deal. Like, this is the real deal. I maxed out her cards to hire the staff. I took risks like that because I had faith in the end result. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. Go max out your cards. But what I'm saying is I had faith in my vision. I had that much faith, and I made it happen. Yeah, I didn't have a choice.
Incredible, man. So what's your team look like today? Like, how many people do you have? And maybe if you can quickly run through what some of those positions are.
Yeah, I have the first person that I staffed was a lead sourcing manager. I needed them to source and organize the leads. At that same breath, I got this system from Dan Schwartz. He had a Podio system they used.
Yep.
And it was absolutely amazing. That changed the game for me. I actually swiped that on the MX cards.
Yeah, we had Dan on the show, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And I know he's gone on to do the investor fuse thing. So, yeah, he's got a great system. Yep.
Yeah, he has an awesome system, man. So I did that. And so my lead sourcing manager's job was to organize my whole operation from a standpoint of organizing the leads as they came in, sending contracts, the little tedious tasks, $5, $10 hour tasks that wouldn't bring me massive amounts of money. I outsourced that first. Then I hired a marketing person, the person whose job is to literally market like an animal online, mm-hmm. All day long, you know, as long as they're in. And those are two VA positions. I staffed both of those pretty much within the same breath. And then I had an acquisitions manager. The acquisitions manager's job is to strictly talk to seller leads, make offers all day long, prospect like I did 250 prospects a day minimum to get us at least 2 or 3 contracts a day.
So you have this acquisitions manager, Brian, processing the leads that come in from all of your campaigns, as well as meeting with sellers at their home?
Well, no. So I have a different person that meets with sellers. Everybody that's on my team is actually not in Memphis, dude. It sounds crazy, except for the person that's the boots on the ground that gets the pictures. See, the thing with meeting with the sellers, my acquisition manager, he builds the report and gets the contract sent virtually. My person who's boots on the ground, they just gets the picture and meet with the seller to and then say, okay, my acquisitions manager is going to get back with you. He gives them the seller's packet that we have. The seller's packet explains the whole process and kind of builds the report, with the customer about, you know, who we are, et cetera, and the process of what we're going to need to do.
Okay.
And so that's the boots on the ground person.
And what do you call that person? Is that not because your acquisitions person is the person that's on the phone all day making offers,
right, and requesting contracts from the lead sourcing manager. I call that the boots on the ground. My person who goes get my pictures, he uploads them to Dropbox and YouTube.
So it sounds like, Brian, you're closing pretty much all of your, and correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm trying to figure out like how your team works. You're closing most of your deals over the phone, not so much belly to belly in person.
Yeah, we don't do any in person at all. Like, none of our deals are done in person.
Wow, that is awesome, dude. That's, and by the way, there's no right or wrong here. You know, all this, you know, all this works. You just got to figure out what works for you. You see, like for me, we have a lead manager who's the equivalent of your acquisitions person, but we have actually an acquisitions person that goes to meet with the seller. And we've actually kicked around the idea of, you know, can we do more deals over the phone without having to actually go out there? So, you know, there's no right or wrong. I think you just got to figure out the model that works for you, right?
Right, because I was taught, Alex, that, you know, you go meet everybody to do business with them, et cetera. But I'm new school, man. Like, I believe in time. My time is my money.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to waste my, you know, my acquisition managers, they make good money, too. So I want them cranking, you know, like, so if I can have, you know, my acquisition manager can average $5,000 a week in commissions, you know, spending time with a deadbeat seller, you know, hey, look, what do you want to do? You know, like barbecue a meal do over the phone, you know, okay, I'm going to open up your email. You got a contract in your email. Let's rock and roll. That's how serious we are. And yeah, everybody gets a contract. So, you know, if they turn into from a prospect to a lead, because a prospect is a person that says F you or, you know, no, I don't want this. That's a prospect. Mm-hmm. A lead is a person that responds and say, you know what, I can't do that, but, you know, let's negotiate. And so the negotiation process, that becomes a lead. And so every lead gets a contract, you know, in their inbox. That lets them know that they're serious. And then what the great thing about it is, not only do we follow up, but the DocuSign and the Right Signature software that we use, it automatically follows up and it sends them a reminder, hey, look, you need to sign this contract. So it does it for you. Technology does it for you.
Got it. And so you have your lead, your acquisitions person, they're negotiating over the phone, right?
Correct.
Okay, got it. Wow, man, that's freaking awesome. And right now, how many contracts are you, or how many deals a month are you averaging to get you 100, 200 grand a month?
Like last week we bought five properties. So we average, I would say, about a good 5 to 6 properties a week, average of $10,000 a deal.
Got it. Okay. Interesting, man. And then, so you have your, do you have a dispositions manager, a salesperson that then markets and sells your deals?
Right, exactly. So like I get a lot of inboxes, et cetera, from buyers all over the world that wants to buy from us. And we get probably like 30 or 40 new buyer leads a day from all of the marketing that my amazing marketing manager does, Kyle, the beast. Him and Jet, my two VAs, are absolutely phenomenal. You know, like, now granted, we have to, you know, have, you know, meetings and talks, et cetera, to make sure that the morale and stuff is still up. But, you know, they're absolutely amazing. It's the consistency of everything that I'm talking about, the persistence of continuously doing it, you know. So, but we get a lot of leads in on a daily basis. So I feed the beast, you know. So my acquisitions manager is Zach. We have a team that, you know, we're building through Zach and others that we have as well. But Zach, I'll give you a prime example. Zach in the last 60 days has made $70,000 or $80,000 in the last 60 days.
That's huge, bro. That's huge. You talk about feeding the beast, man. Let's maybe if we can pivot a little bit to marketing, not only the marketing channels that you have found have been working the best for you for motivated sellers. That's one of the things I always like to touch on, but also for cash buyers. You know, like right now we could start there if you're willing to share. I mean, you said you're generating 30, 40 cash buyer leads a day. What are some sites, especially some of the ones I'm intrigued to hear you say, you know, you're getting international cash buyers from Israel and all over the world. What do you have some of your team doing on a daily basis to be able to generate 30, 40 cash buyer leads a day?
I mean, so we post everywhere. I mean, if you look at my page, like I'm posting like probably like 5, 6, 7 times an hour. A lot of people talk against it. Hey, aren't you getting on your people's nerves? That's what I want to do. If I'm not getting on your nerves, I'm not doing my job. I can't sell a secret. I'm Uncle G's son, man. I can't sell a secret, baby. So I'm posting, like I told you, bro, my energy budget is like Coca-Cola billion, on billion status. Like, so I'm doing the things that others aren't willing to do so that I can have the things that others don't have. We've heard that quote, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so when I say, like, it's not something that probably, like, people will probably hear this, Alex, and be like, oh, my God, like, really? So, like, social media, all of them. I post on Twitter, Facebook, the same way you see me posting on Facebook and all of the groups, et cetera. I post on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Connected Investor, Bigger Pockets, Craigslist. That's online. I mean, those are just...
What are you posting exactly?
I mean, I would say this. Go to Brian S. Harris on Facebook, like Brian $Harris on Facebook. And it's like my little page. Or you can find me, Brian S. Harris. I have too many friends on Brian S. Harris. But my point is, I post a lot of value, meaning like when thoughts enter into my brain, whether it's motivation, whether it's tips, I give a lot of free information, but I do that because I want to be an open vessel, because I can keep the flow coming into me if I'm open. I believe in abundance. Yep. So I believe in giving and I'll get. So by me giving a lot of value, free information that helps people that were in a place where I was, mm-hmm. I know that more abundance will come to me. So what I post is motivation, tips, information to, you know, inspire people, you know, to do better, stuff that we're talking about, like all of it, man. I give it, like, now, you know, so some people, you know, get mad at me, man. I've had people reached out to me before saying, why are you giving away so much free information, dude? It's like, I don't think like that. What's for me is for, you know.
Yep. So, I got you, man. I got you.
So hold on. So let me say this. I meant to say this. So in the same breath, I post all of that value, but then I also say, out of every 4 or 5 posts, I post like, all right, this house is for sale, or I'm buying houses. So I have like 2 advertising ads out of every 5 or 6 posts that I post an hour.
Got it.
And that's 24/7.
So it's so kind of like, it's kind of like what Gary Vee talks about in his book, Jab, 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 Hook, right? It's like jab, jab, jab is you're giving value, value, value. And then a hook is, okay, you're asking for something, you're selling, you're marketing, whatever it might be.
That makes sense.
Yep. Yep, exactly. And what about now for motivated sellers, man? What are, I know obviously direct mail, you know, I know PPC, and we could talk about all this stuff for hours, but maybe if you can hone in on like 2 or 3 or some of your best marketing channels to get motivated seller leads.
Right, so I don't do mailers.
You don't do direct mail?
No, I don't.
you're doing 200 grand a month, and you're not doing direct mail.
Oh man, I'm gonna tell you a big. I would say about 70% of our deals come from referrals. So, like, I'll give you a prime example. Like, we network our butts off. Like, that's just a strategy that I teach. So, like, pastors, bankruptcy attorneys, divorce attorneys, probate attorneys, all of these different types of attorneys, I develop relationships with, and I have them feed me deals as they get them. All of them have problem clients that come to them on a daily basis that I'm a solution for. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one thing. Title companies, you know, we close a lot, so I have them feeding me deals. Wholesalers feed me deals. Wholesalers that don't market the way we do, that don't have the buyer base the way we do, that may have a strict buyer that wants certain deals, but they can't sell them other types of properties that I buy, that I have buyers for. So wholesalers feed me relentlessly. Of course, everybody knows that I talk about what I call my famous Zillow technique. I make offers to for sale by owners on Zillow daily.
Can you spend like a quick minute or two talking? Because I know you posted about that recently on Facebook, and that was actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, because, you know, I know we've kind of gone on a bit here longer than what we typically do. But dude, you're just rocking and you're flowing with the info. So if you have a few minutes, what is your famous Zillow technique?
I mean, it's just really simple. Like I said, a lot of this stuff, man, a person will hear and be like, I can't believe it's that simple. And it really is. Like, I had a friend. I had a friend who reached out to me. She may hear this too. Her name is Rita. Rita and Tavares is her husband, right? And they were like, you know, interested in real estate, et cetera. And I'm like, well, look, I got a thing that you can do, you know, how to flip houses without fixing them, no money down, no credit needed. And I'm going to tell you, I said, I can pretty much guarantee you a couple $1,000 over the next 2 weeks if you do what I'm about to tell you to do. And they was like, okay, what? I was like, all you need to do is go in this particular zip code, go to Zillow.com and make an offer, you know, at this amount to these sellers, okay. Right? And they did it. And I said, do it every day. Even if they curse you out, do it every day, every night. I said, and me, I'm disrespectful. If your number's on the internet, Alex, I'm texting you in the middle of the night. Okay, so I'm disrespectful. You should take your number off the internet if you don't want messages, right? So, look, some people work at night. You know, that's the only time I'm up. So that's the only time I can message you. So if you got a problem with me messaging you, move your number. You don't want to say yeah. But that's not the case in most cases. Most people are like, thank you so much. Like, they're happy to get an offer, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you get cussed out too. So they did it, dude. And, like, I didn't have a buyer for that specific house, bro. But of course, we market our butts off. And dude, like, we made, I want to say $6,000 on it. They made three, I made three. And that was in like 2 weeks. And like, they were like, oh my God. Like, I can do that with anybody, bro. Like, it's just, you know, it's some other things that possibly go into it, et cetera. But it's really not. It's like, not a lot of thought. If you do it, you got to kind of know your market. And that's kind of like, I would say, the little specialty on it. Like, for instance, in Miami or California, the market is a little bit different. So, like, if I offer a person, you know, 50% of what they're asking in a market that's selling like hotcakes, right?
Yeah.
I'm probably wasting my time. So I may need to adjust my strategy on my offers in that market. But in smaller markets, I'm going to offer them, you know, pretty much half or what I know that my buyer. The key is knowing what your buyers want to pay.
Bingo.
When you know what your buyers want to pay, then you price, you know, how you need to price your offers on Zillow. And don't think about it. I'm going to give this example because a lot of people that do this Zillow technique, if they don't learn specifically from us and they go attempt it, they put a lot of thought into it thinking, okay, so, you know, what should I say? Or, so here's the thing. I'm going to give this example, then I'm going to harp on that a little bit. So I was talking about one of my mentors back when I was like 21 years old. I'm 36 now. And he said, man, if there's a $1 million contest, Alex, a mudslinging contest. He said, and there's a bunch of, it's 100 people in the room, and you're facing a wall, and there's piles of mud in front of each one of the people, okay? Mm-hmm. And the object of the game is whoever can get the most mud on the wall wins the $1 million. Ready, go. You're going to have some people that are going to reach over to the pile of mud, pick it up, look at it, and say, okay, this piece of mud ain't gonna stick, so I ain't gonna even throw this one. They gonna put that
crazy.
You're gonna have another person that says, okay, you know what? I'm gonna throw this piece of mud, and then they're gonna throw it, and then watch it slide down. Okay, so that one's gonna probably slide down. Let me, and then you're gonna have another person that's over there just throwing the slop out of mud. That's me. That's you, right?
Yep.
Those are the people who are making it happen. We slinging mud. Like, I don't care what sticks. I'm just throwing this whole pile on this wall, right? That's the object of this Zillow technique, right?
Got it.
Gotta sling mud and don't think about what sticks. What happens. The key is prospecting on a daily basis. The bigger you build your prospect pipeline, make offers. Even if it's too high, even if it's too low, get in the habit of prospecting. That's what this does.
And when
you have activity.
Yep. And when you say send offers, is it something as simple as, are you sending, you know, whatever?
See, I don't have time to call every one of the people. It's like, I'm prospecting 250 prospects a day myself, in addition to what my team does. So, like, even though I have a team, like, I do what I have my team do of the stuff that I love doing. Now, granted, I funnel that traffic back to my team, but my prospecting goes to, you know, from me. So, with that said, when a person says offer, I kind of forgot what you were saying. When a person says offer, what were you saying, right?
Yeah, no. I think you were going to touch on it. Is, do you teach people just take a certain percentage of their asking price, don't get into the comps, just send an offer, and is it a simple email, text message?
Or are you actually having them send it's like a text message. Like, I don't have time to talk to all of the sellers. I just text them. It's on offer, sale, for owner leads. Most of them have a text message. Some of them are real estate agents. If it's a real estate agent, I don't really deal with them. Because I don't want to get into the hassle of, you know, all the other unnecessary nonsense. But if it's a for sale by owner, Zillow has their number down at the bottom of it, and you can just message them.
And you'll just send them a text message, you know, hey, would you be open to an offer in this range or you know?
No, you don't ask. You know how it is in sales. You don't ask. I'm telling you what I'm going to pay. Hey, look, me and my wife buy a house in this area. I'm willing to pay you. You know, I want to buy it for such and such and such and such. Let me know if this works, and I can send you over contract today.
Yep.
It's real simple. Yeah, right. You know, so I know people want to kind of know specifics. Now, here's the thing. Every text ain't like that. It's just what I'm feeling. I do it in the middle of the night. So before I go to bed, I send like 30 to 40 messages out a night, you know, from my text phone or whatever. And I wake up to, you know, F you know, oh, my God, thank you so much. I can't take, you know, let's just say they're asking $100,000. I can't take $40,000 for this house. No way. It's my grandma's. You know, okay, well, what are you willing to take? You know, because now, here's the thing. Here's how you determine motivation from this strategy, from my point of view. If you respond to me and I just offered you a ridiculously low offer and you respond to communicate with me, I got you.
Yep.
Like, it's a, like, you shark bait, boy. Like, it's over. You know?
You're in my world, man. It's over.
Right.
That's
it's over.
It's
I a wrap. Own you at that point, right?
Yeah, so. Dude, that's awesome, man. Hey, Brian, brother, man, this has been, we're getting close to an hour, and I don't know if you're familiar with the show, man. We typically go about half an hour, and I don't care, man. So I appreciate you going, you know, double the time that we kind of, you know, had budgeted here, brother. So this has been awesome, man. I got two questions for you before we wrap up here. Number one, where can people reach out to you, find out more, you know, find out more about what you have going on? I know you and I talked about you're in the process of, you know, I know you got a mentoring program, and so people might want to reach out to you about that. And then number two, what can we do to add value to you and help you in anything you got going on?
Well, there's a couple things, man. So I have a Facebook fan page. It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, $. It's like a $, Harris, H-A-R-I-S. It would be great. I would love for people to follow my personal page, but I'm like on my friend limit. So follow my fan page. I also have a group that I created called Free Real Estate Mentoring on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram, The Brian Harris, spelt like my name, B-R-Y-N. And then, of course, my company website is homesfor10k.com. And you can go there, you know, and get added to our buyers list, et cetera. But about the quickly about the mentoring program, a lot of the things, you know, I love like the Sean Terry's and all my other mentors that I've learned from. What I've done is I've created a mentoring program, and I call it life coaching and real estate mentoring. It's like the whole package from the mental aspect. I spend a lot of time on teaching people how to develop their mindset for, you know, growth, for change. And then I also teach them, you know, about fueling their body for the grind, changing your habits and you know, giving your body the right things that it needs. And then more importantly, the mechanics of real estate. You know, I talk more about the Zillow technique, but dude, I have like literally hundreds of techniques that if we were on this call, it would take us days to go over. Yep. And so I go into all that, and I literally poured my whole soul into those videos. You know, some of them are short, some of them are long, but we did a test group, Alex, and I know we run over time, but we did a test group to like 30 people. And pretty much, I would say the people out of the people that implemented the action, you know, the fast ones, we have like 13 people who have made over $20,000 in their first 6 weeks of taking the course.
Dude, that's
and
awesome.
That for me, my wife said, Brian, it's time to release it to everybody. And I'm like, all right, I was nervous, dude. So, you know, so that's it, man. So go to my fan page. I'm gonna release it on my fan page. I'm gonna do like a, you know, video, live video, and all that stuff. We're gonna make a big shindig out of it over the next couple of weeks. So,
very man, cool, man.
Alex, I just want to say thank you too for allowing me to be able to share, you know, information to your people, man.
Hey, man, this has been awesome. Again, I really appreciate your time, man. You're so giving, you're so sharing, and just your passion and your energy just oozes through here. And I'm sure people can like just kind of they can relate, and they can just, you know, just the vibrations, man, and just the positive energy you're putting out is fantastic, man. So I definitely want to acknowledge you and encourage you to continue to do that. And I know you and I will be in contact, man. Anything I can do for you, you let me know. And guys, appreciate you listening in. All the resources, everything Brian mentioned is going to be on the show notes page here. I'd love for you to share this episode with your friends and family because, you know, there's just so much that Brian dropped here. We might even chop this up into two episodes. I'm not sure. I got to figure that out. But again, I know you've received a lot of value. So if you can pay it forward and share it with your friends and family, that'd be greatly appreciated. And make sure to check out Brian $Harris on Facebook. Check out his fan page. And if you're interested in connecting with him about his mentoring program, I know he's going to be posting some more information about that there. So Brian, man, again, appreciate you, brother, and thanks for dropping the gold, man.
Thank you so much, Alex, man, and God bless, bro.
God bless. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show, but we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.